Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is the 411 Ground and Pound Radio Show, your weekly look into the wide, wacky, wonderful world of mixed martial arts. I'm your host, Robert Winfrey, and it's been a busy day. Yeah, I had to wake up a couple of hours earlier than I normally would on a Sunday so I could cover UFC Fight Night 86. The 8:30 a.m. start time was not kind to me. So if I'm a tad, maybe a little bit crankier, maybe a tad burned out from just, you know, all that right into the podcast type thing, I apologize in advance. This is the first time this particular circumstance has come up, but I feel pretty good. Just getting it out of the way that if that comes up, there's why. Tonight we are going to be reviewing UFC Fight Night 86, which again just happened. It concluded a few hours ago, like four. So we'll be talking about that, how Mark Radulich's dream card of yay, more heavyweights played out. It was hit and miss. And we will be previewing this Saturday. UFC goes back on Big Daddy Fox for UFC on Fox 19. I was very interested in this card. Main event got changed. Now it's UFC, the nostalgia show, basically. But we'll be talking about that event as well. And I think we managed to avoid any major injuries for this week or, you know, major news stories. But Jeff will be here, and he will correct me if I'm wrong about that. All right, this show takes live callers. We go live pretty much every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you'd like to call in, you know, have a question you want answered, comment, criticism, we take it all here. If you'd like to do so, the number is 323-657-0901. Once again, 323-657-0901. If you would like to call in using Skype, on the Blog Talk Radio player page, there is a Skype icon. It's on the top of the player, off-center to the right. Click on that. You click three or four boxes of dialogue. You'll come up in my switchboard. I'll get you on the air. All right, that's all of that. Okay, here with me as always, with, you know, the housekeeping out of the way, 411 Mania's jack of all trades and my regular partner in crime as far as MMA goes. Jeff Harris is with us again, Jeff. How you doing?
Well, I just ate some bad kangaroo meat, so I hope I don't get tested by USADA today. Let's just say that.
Oh, it was hilarious. Utterly hilarious.
Who would have known that kangaroo meat can make you fail a drug test for anabolic steroids?
Well,
no,
he's only
idea.
Been alerted to the possibility of a drug test failure, so he's not. There's still some procedures to go through.
But kangaroo meat in Australia has steroids, and it will make a drug test.
He should have known better than to eat a kangaroo before fighting Mark Hunt in Australia. Just not the best game plan.
Why do you want to eat kangaroo? I mean,
people eat weird meats. I wouldn't turn it down.
I mean, if you need that meat to survive, it's one thing. But I mean, yeah, you're about to have a really big main event fight against Mark Hunt. I mean, eat clean and you know, don't eat anything like where you don't know where it comes from, and you know you got to trust work. But whatever. I'm not his coach, I'm not his manager, not his parent. I don't believe him anyway. Why am I even Why am I even talking about kangaroo meat? I don't even believe that bullshit excuse. All right, moving on.
We're both still just completely flabbergasted by Ben Rothwell's flat performance, and that's what's causing us to go off on tangents.
Exactly.
All right. Main event for UFC Fight Night 86, which was the UFC's debut in Croatia. They had a pretty good crowd there, I'll say that, from what I could tell. They showed up early. They were clearly invested, made the appropriate amounts of noise. I think Mirko Krokop probably got the biggest reaction. Didn't fight, just was seated ringside. Still got a huge reaction, as he should. But yeah, they had a good crowd, so they might add Zagreb to the maybe once a year, once every 18 months type of touring schedule, and that'd be fine with me. I have no complaints about that. The venue or the crowd is a fan looking in from the outside. Main event, former UFC heavyweight champion Junior Dos Santos just comprehensively outclassed Ben Rothwell to win a unanimous decision. This is the one fight on the one heavyweight fight on this card I was okay with going the distance. I've seen Dos Santos go, five hard rounds before. Ben Rothwell, I figured if he gassed out badly, Dos Santos would knock him out, so he either would have the cardio to keep it interesting or he'd get finished, and I'm happy with either of those. Basically had the conditioning to keep up for five solid rounds. So impressive conditioning from Ben Rothwell, especially for a guy who weighs, 264 pounds. This was a very different style of fighting from Dos Santos. He used a lot of stick and move, a lot of appropriate circling, amped up his body work a little bit to set up his head strikes, a lot of jabs and rights to the body to keep Rothwell both at distance and to sap his cardio. Good punches, lots of circling. He did a much better job this time around as opposed to some other fights where he's allowed himself to be pressed up against the fence or kind of corralled there. He did a much better job of circling away from it and angling off if Rothwell got too close. This is finally kind of showing the fruits of the work he's putting in at American Top Team, where he's adjusting his style a little bit more to the skill set that he has, making adjustments for some liabilities he might have picked up along the way. So a really good outing from him, and never thought I'd say it after that second drubbing that Cain gave him, but Junior's not terribly far away from a title shot. He holds a win over Fabricio Werdum, knocked him cold with an uppercut. Great knockout. You can look up in the annals if you're so interested.
And Stipe
if that's true. I mean, it's not a clear shot, but crazier things have happened in the heavyweight division than Dos Santos getting back towards the belt. So good for him.
I would have just said book the rematch between Werdum and Dos Santos after. Because at the time, Werdum had just beaten Cain, and at the time, Junior had recently fought and beaten Stipe in their heavyweight fight.
Yeah, again, crazier things have happened. If Velasquez loses, Overeem gets injured, any number of small combinations, and Dos Santos is in a position to fight for the belt again. Not sure I'd pick him over Werdum at this point, but again, crazier things. Ben Rothwell, it's a setback, but he still won four in a row. He had a couple of really good performances in that. This was one of those instances where he just could never, I think, adjust in the cage to what was going on. He kept trying, plan A, and it kept not working, so he eventually... And again, you beat your head against a brick wall and expect the wall to give. Now your head's the one that's going to give. Just couldn't adjust to what was happening. Had and wound up losing because of it. But still, used to make jokes about Ben Rothwell. He's not a joke of a fighter anymore. His improvements still stand. He's still a very dangerous fighter for most of that division. And I'll say I wouldn't want to be the next guy to fight him because he's probably going to want to make a statement. Overall, a pretty solid main event. I picked Ben Rothwell, so I'm sad that I was wrong. But as a fan of Junior Dos Santos, and I have been for a really long time, it was really good to see him find his form again as far as, you know, competing at a high level. So as a fan, I'm very, very happy with that. But as far as, you know, as a measure of my predictive abilities, yeah, that one's not going on the old resume. It was very wrong. But, again, not complaining, not a bad fight, especially if you have to have a heavyweight fight go five rounds. You could do a lot worse than that one. All right, Jeff, you and I both went in on the Rothwell to win that fight. We're very sadly mistaken, but what did you think of the fight?
I thought if Junior, if Rothwell did the type of things he did in this fight, and Junior would be able to just settle into his boxing game, I thought Junior would be successful there, and he was. I just think what Rothwell was missing in this fight was some of that versatility we've seen from him as of late, and he wasn't able to pressure Junior. He wasn't able to cut Junior off. Junior was just constantly able to circle, outbox, use body shots, and Rothwell, I did mention last week that Rothwell has sort of a very sort of square sort of it's a very predictable sort of stand-up game, and his stance is very sort of just square and straight and a little flat-footed, and that's something Junior, I mean, he exploited, but Cain Velasquez was very effective, you know, using his pressure, constantly pressuring and pushing Junior, and Rothwell's corners sounded like they were giving him good advice and telling him what to do. He just couldn't implement those things. And I don't really feel like the first round was close, and Rothwell did decent in the first round. But in a war of attrition, Junior just kind of picked away and outboxed him over the course of the rest of the fight. And that ultimately won him out the fight. So it's a good win for Junior. And quite frankly, it's the best he's looked in a long time, just in terms of the kind of shape he was in, the cardio, the boxing, and he looked a lot sharper than he has in the past. Like in recent fights, he looked like he looked older, he looked slower, but he looked a lot better here. So check his drug test, you saw it, and make sure he hasn't been taking any extra juice for this fight, because he looked good. I want to give him all the credit and the benefit of the doubt, because he did look good tonight and he looked really sharp, which he needed to do, because now he's a relevant contender again. And now he can be in another big fight and possibly be back in the title mix very soon, because Cain Velasquez, he's sort of out of the title picture for right now. So that could leave an opening for Junior Dos Santos, who has a knockout win over Fabrizio Verdum. And he's the last person to finish the current UFC heavyweight champion. And he's the last person to beat the guy who's going to fight Fabrizio Verdum next in Stipe Miocic.
Yeah, it turns out, you know, the reports of the demise of Junior Dos Santos' career were greatly exaggerated, or at least a tad.
It's a bit of MMA math, but this is sort of the round-robin nature of this sport. You have Ben Rothwell, who was on a winning streak, and part of that winning streak, he impressively knocked out Alistair Overeem. Alistair Overeem was in a bit of a slump for a while, then he comes back. He's won a couple fights, and one of those fights was a knockout over Junior. So, you know, you kind of figure Rothwell had all the momentum here. Maybe Junior was getting a little overlooked, but that's just sort of the nature of this sport, where because of the way guys match up, and because of how guys will fight each other, where one guy will beat one guy, but then he will lose to the other guy in another fight. That's just how crazy this sport is, and also makes it very hard to predict and nail it down.
Yeah, that's why, you know, long-term consistency with predictions in this sport is so difficult. Again, I'm happy with that fight. It was, I'm not complaining about the way it was, about the way it went down. Good main event, feel good win for Junior, who's still, you know, Ben Rothwell again, not a joke. That was a legitimate win. All three judges scored at 50-45. The first round was the only round that was close. I still thought Junior won that round, but if you scored that one for Rothwell, I'm not complaining. If you're going to beat Junior, I think one of the keys is taking away his jab. You have to either pressure him or threaten him in ways that he can't utilize that effectively. And if you can't do that, you're in for a long night. And unfortunately for Ben Rothwell, he was unable to do so.
Now, this is interesting. I'm looking at the betting odds. Most of the odds were pretty even for the main event, except it looks like one sports book had Rothwell as the underdog before the fight. So that's a little interesting to me.
Dos Santos was a favorite, depending on where you looked. There were a few places where he was the favorite, and deservedly. I mean, again, he'd been kind of up and down, but I don't have a problem with any of the odds that I saw floating around for that fight.
Junior Dos Santos, and he has been back and forth, but so there is that.
Yeah, all right. Again, not a bad main event. Dos Santos is probably in the on-deck circle.
No surprises in the co-main event at all. Pretty much
not for us.
Totally nailed that one.
Now, you and I were pretty much dead on for this one. Derek Lewis knocked out Gabriel Gonzaga in the first round. Made me happy. Not that Gonzaga lost, I don't have anything against him, but that it ended before the first 5 minutes were up, because the one before this did not, and the one before that did not either, and it suffered a tad. But now Derek Lewis, who is apparently Mark Radulich's new favorite fighter, survived a brief, bad position on the ground. He got taken down by Gonzaga. Gonzaga had him mounted for a second or two. Just was finally able to hit Gonzaga square in the chin. Gonzaga dropped. Derek Lewis continues to improve. You and I predicted this one pretty much down to a T. Gonzaga struggles if he's pressured. He struggles if he's hit consistently or with any, with heavyweight level power. And Derek Lewis hits very, very hard. Lewis's takedown defense is surprisingly effective. He only got taken down once. And even then, he kind of baited what it looked like to me. Now, I am not a grappling expert, so bear with me here. Gonzaga took him down and landed in side control. And it looked like Lewis, first he kind of put up a knee shield to prevent Gonzaga from mounting him. When he dropped that in Gonzaga, it looked like he dropped that almost intentionally, so that when Gonzaga shifted his weight to go to the full mount, he was able to explode and try to get out. Now, he gave up his back, but Gonzaga was a little bit high. He was able to kind of shake it off. So, his takedown defense is pretty good, and, he let a former world champion jiu-jitsu practitioner mount him so that he could kind of escape. The man's not a scrub when it comes to grappling by any stretch of the imagination.
Lewis is... He has his flaws. He's not the cleanest, prettiest, or most technical fighter, but what he does, he seems to do very well, and he makes it work for him because, his cardio is not, great, but he's very tough. He's got a fairly good chin, and he's got a lot of power, and he scrambles very well. He's good in the scrambles. He's good at defense, and he's good at weathering the storm and taking the fight to a place where he can dominate his opponents and knock them out. Because, 6-2, 6 knockout victories in the UFC, 5 first-round knockout victories of those 6 wins. So, and Gonzaga's a decent fighter. He has very good grappling. He has knockout power of his own. The problem is, if you pressure him and you hit him, he just doesn't respond very well. He wilts. He doesn't respond well to pressure. He doesn't respond well to getting hit. And the thing about Lewis can stick it out a little bit if you start if he faces adversity, and we've seen that from him before. We saw that in the Victor Pesta fight when he was having trouble early on in that fight. So this had all the makings of a fight I knew Derek Lewis was capable of winning. Does he beat Roy Nelson? I think Nelson would probably be a tougher fight for him. But the thing is, Nelson's not very technical either. And, I mean, Nelson has decent skills, but he doesn't really implement them in his fights either. He just likes to get into brawls with guys. And sometimes that works for him. Sometimes it doesn't. I can see that fight going Lewis's way as well if that fight happens.
That's just a game of who lands first.
Probably.
I'm not going to complain too much about it.
If they make that fight next, I really hope it doesn't go all three rounds.
That would be so ugly.
I hope it's not made into like a fight night main event booked for five rounds. That would be a nightmare.
You're tempting way too much fate there, guy. UFC matchmakers, don't even schedule that for five rounds. Because if it goes, it's going to be just awful. Absolutely awful. Apparently, Lewis is going to get Roy Nelson next. He called out Nelson. Nelson went on Twitter and mentioned that, you know, he's my next opponent. Apparently, there had been some discussion beforehand that if he wins, we'll get him to Roy Nelson. So, and I'm fine with that fight. It's going to be...
about Dos Santos, you know? I mean... if you think about it, it's not a terrible fight for Dos Santos.
No, it isn't.
Because
Gonzaga...
Here's why I would say that. Dos Santos looked better than he has in a long time tonight. The guy with momentum right now at heavyweight is, while he's not ranked super high, is a guy like Derek Lewis, who has a winning record. He's on a three-fight winning streak. And Dos Santos might have to stay busy for a while because the heavyweight title picture, I mean, we need to see that Stipe-Werdum fight, and it might be a while before the winner of that fight will be ready to fight another opponent. So Junior might have to fight again before he can conceivably fight for the title. I think he likely beats a guy like Derek Lewis, and that suddenly gives him two solid wins again and it builds him back up for the title picture, basically.
Entirely possible. As for Gonzaga...
Alistair Overeem, he's got the fight in, I think, Rotterdam, correct?
Yeah, he's fighting in Rotterdam. He's fighting Andre Arlovsky.
Okay, so whoever wins that fight, if Overeem wins that fight, he could feasibly be next in line for the title, and he just knocked out Junior. Because Alistair Overeem's won his last three. He beats Arlovsky here. That's four in a row. Whether we like it or not, if Overeem beats Arlovsky, he's feasibly next in line for the title. And it won't be Dos Santos. So I'm just saying that's a scenario where you might want to book Derek Lewis versus Junior Dos Santos. Just throwing that out there.
Could happen. As for poor old Gabriel Gonzaga, poor man, Bear Pig. He is 1-4 in his last five. That win was the worst fight of 2015. It was voted on by us.
One of the worst fights I've ever seen, quite frankly.
Terrible. His fight with Konstantin Arokin was just terrible. So I would not be shocked if he gets his walking papers again. Or if you need him to fill out a card, you give him one more chance. I don't know who you'd give him. Maybe Alexei Oleinik, because much as I respect Oleinik's abilities, and I think he wins that fight without too many problems, he's been out
Struve
for a while, and you got to kind of reintroduce him.
Maybe Stefan Struve?
Struve's possible. Timothy Johnson, who we're going to get to in a second or two here. As both guys being, you know, outside the top 15. So there are options if you want to keep him around. If you cut Gabriel Gonzaga, at this point, I don't think anyone really cares. All right. Also at heavyweight, Francis Ngannou defeated Curtis Blaydes via TKO at the end of the second round. This was a doctor's stoppage between rounds 2 and 3. This was not a very good fight. Please bear in mind that what I'm about to say is not necessarily an insult. And it might come off that way given what I just said, but Francis Ngannou is a very patient fighter. I admire that, personally. Because a lot of fighters get too crazy, they abandon game plans, they don't think while they fight, they just, you know. So to see a big guy like Ngannou with power, try to be technical, try to fight intelligently, try to fight patiently, I like that, I respect that, it bodes well about his future. Because guys who have that early in their career, the other stuff, you know, that's one of those things that normally you only get with experience. If you've got that already, you're in a good spot. Unfortunately, when he's fighting someone who is also cautious, patient, intelligent, any number of those things, it leads to prolonged periods of stalling, of fainting, of circling, of things that are not necessarily the most entertaining to watch. And that's kind of what we had here. Ngannou hits pretty hard. He landed some good punches, but a lot of these were one or two and done. Curtis Blaydes, unable to execute a takedown with any consistency, establish any kind of superior position. Ngannou's takedown defense improved a lot from the last time, from his UFC debut to this one. It was a pretty big jump. What led to the stoppage was Ngannou landed a couple of good rights to the right eye of Blaydes. And by the end of the second round, that eye was shut. That eye was swollen, completely shut. And if you can't see out of an, if you can't see, you can't fight. That's just the way it is. He tried to convince the doctor that he could still fight between rounds. Doc wasn't having it. Again, you can't see, you can't fight. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I'm okay with the stoppage, and Ngannou gets another victory. I am tempted to just start calling him New Czech Congo, because that's basically the role the UFC wants him to fill. Hopefully with a much more successful career, though. I don't have a whole lot more to say about that. It was, you know, not... Again, this wasn't a great fight, but... You know, what did... You know, the stuff that did happen was relatively interesting. Watching Ngannou, you know, try to find openings, defend poorly set up takedowns. If you don't mind watching Prospect MMA, basically, find this fight, look it up. You know, you can look it up and see where, you know, which guy you might bet more heavily on in the future. As the fight itself, meh. I mean, there were worse. There were worse on this card, but just kind of a meh. But, you know, good win for Ngannou. Jeff, what do you got about this one?
All I really have to say is it was a good stoppage, and I think Ngannou is a decent prospect, and keep an eye on him going forward.
Yeah. Let's hope he pans out more than Czech Congo. All right. Our last heavyweight fight on the main card. Timothy Johnson defeated Marcin Tybura via unanimous decision, 329-28. This was a low-level heavyweight fight that went 15 minutes. This was not the worst 15-minute heavyweight fight I've ever seen. I'm not entirely sure it would even make it into the top five. Still wasn't very good. Timothy Johnson won the first two rounds pretty decisively. Some good clinch control. Anytime he was able to kind of suck Tybura into brawling with him for a period of time, he was successful there. At the end of the second round, he blocked a body kick, and it messed up his left arm, which will happen from time to time. So he wound up giving up the third round because his left arm was a tad compromised as far as that went. But, you know, plenty of guys in that position have let an injury like that lead to them getting finished. So credit to him for that, but not a terribly great fight. Johnson's just kind of there. Tybura I mean, it was his debut, so I'll cut him a little bit of slack as far as that goes, but he needs a much better second outing going forward. This was the worst fight on the main card. Was this the worst fight on the card overall? It was that or the first one. So one of the bottom two, and I don't mean that, and that's not the worst thing in the world to say about this fight. This was not the worst fight of the year by any appreciable measure thus far. So I applaud them for exceeding that expectation. Jeff, you got anything for old Timothy Johnson trying to bring back the mustache single-handedly?
The fight sucked.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman.
You're welcome.
All right. At light heavyweight, Jan Blachowicz defeated Igor Pokryats via unanimous decision, 3-29-28. This was not a bad fight. This was an engaging brawl for two rounds. Pokryats had a good positional reverse so he could dominate the second half of the first round. They got into some pretty wild exchanges in the second round that Blachowicz was able to come out on top of, as far as, you know, landing damage. And then the third round, kind of knowing that he needed it, they brawled a little bit. Then Blachowicz got on top of him and just kind of pounded on him until time ran out. Good for Blachowicz. He needed that win to avoid, you know, losing three in a row. Pokryats just, I'm just not sure he's UFC caliber, even in the talent-starved light heavyweight division, but he earned his way back, and if he gets a return trip after this fight, you know, hopefully he does better. All right, Jeff, what do you got about the, what do you got for the light heavyweights here? Are you excited to see one of them crack the top 15?
I thought it was a decent fight. I think Blachowicz did a good job considering he was going against the hometown favorite. He dominated the fight. He did what he needed to do to win. It was decent, so good for him getting the win over the returning Poker Jack, who can't seem to get a break and can't get a single win in the UFC for quite some time.
His last win in the UFC was in, oh, I got to double check this because I looked it up. He beat Fabio Maldonado in 2012.
Right.
That was his last UFC win. Poor guy. All right, and in our, oh, man, this fight bothered me simply because, and I have to, you have to expect some of this given the relative experience level of both fighters. This looked like, this is borderline amateur. Marina Moroz defeated Kristina Stanichu via unanimous decision, 3-30-27. I think I got a little bit generous and felt bad for Stanichu and gave her the final round. I also didn't think the arm bar that Moroz threw up at the end there was tight enough to kind of offset the damage that she had taken prior to that, but your mileage may vary. This, just, you know, not a very good fight. Moroz needed a win to kind of rebound after losing to Valerie Letourneau. Yeah, so good for her for getting the win. Stanichu had some good moments in this fight. Some of her kicks looked pretty good. She's an aggressive fighter. From all positions, she, you know, was trying flying. She jumped for a guillotine, tried to transition that into a triangle choke. I mean, just ill-advised stuff, but certainly fun to watch. Both women are still very young in their professional careers. Plenty of time for them to improve, and I expect they will. So, you know, I don't have a whole lot for this one. Jeff, what do you got for this one?
I'm glad Moroz won because I picked her to win.
Fair enough. All right, on the prelims. Zach Cummings defeated Nicholas Dalby of unanimous decision, 3-30-27. This was a pretty good fight. Cummings, good pressure, both on the feet and on the mat. Just kind of, you know, out-pressured and outworked and was more efficient than Dalby. Dalby game, though. Down two rounds pretty clearly. He came into that third round to fight landed a pretty good head kick. You know, Dolby's game, man. You know, got his, that's his first loss, but he'll be around. He's a pretty he's somebody to that you let, you want to have on a card. Alejandro Perez defeated Ian Entwistle via verbal submission punches in the first round. Entwistle tried. Entwistle tried about 30 different heel hook variations on Perez. Nothing came of that. Perez looked a little bit jacked when he tried to stand after the fight. So some of those had some torque on them, but another win for Perez, who, I don't know, it's bantamweight. He could make a run. Not a whole lot to that fight. Entwistle could probably go away, and I don't think too many people would care. The fight I was most looking forward to on the entire card, Mirbek Taisimov defeated Damir Hadzevich via TKO in the first round. Guys, Mirbek Taisimov, he should, I had him in the top 15, I think, prior to this fight. He should have been there on the UFC's rankings. And I am well aware of how stacked lightweight is, but come on now. Stopped him in the first round, wants a top 10 opponent. I say give him the loser of the Chiesa Dariush fight that's coming up. I think that's actually scheduled for the Fox event on Saturday. So give him somebody like that. I move the man up. Mirbek Taisimov's kind of a beast. Damian Stasiak defeated Philip Page via submission in the first round. Not a whole lot to see there. On Fight Pass, Lucas Martins defeated Robert Whiteford via split decision. 29-28, 28-29, and 30-27. I take issue with 30-27 for Martins because Whiteford won that last round. I think it was – there was one round, and I think it was the third. That was pretty clearly Whiteford's. The other – I have no issue with Martins winning. I have no issue with the split decision. I just disagree with 30-27 on some pretty fundamental levels. But not a bad fight. Jared Cannonier defeated Cyril Asker via knockout, punches and elbows in the first round. This was our first heavyweight fight of the evening. It ended before the three-minute mark, so generally by default, I am happy. Really nice kind of setup to the knockdown, and then some good elbows from side control from Cannonier. He got thrown in the deep end for his debut. Sean Jordan may never be a world beater, but the guy's not a joke. And kicking off the entire event, we had a relatively lackluster middleweight fight. Bohan Velich... I heard them pronounce that guy's name, and for some reason it's still... Because he's Serbian, and there's actually a weird pronunciation for the C-K together. I think it's Velichovic. Velichovic, yeah, that's it. Sorry. Anyway, Bohan Velichovic defeated Alessio DiCirico via unanimous decision, 229-28 and a 30-27. This was a relatively uninspired fight. All the rounds were relatively close. Both guys making their debuts, you expect some nerves. They're both kind of regional guys who got the call up to help fill out the card. Lower your expectations. Still not a great fight, but I've seen worse. That's about it. All right, Jeff, what are your burning desires from that set of prelims?
Zach Cummings versus Nicholas Dolby was a good fight. Zach Cummings is very underrated. I picked him to win here, so I'm glad he won. Ian Entwistle is an idiot. He took a page out of the playbook of Husamar Pauletis, screw-ups. Look, if you think a guy is greasing and cheating, it's one thing, but when you're over-committing to a leg lock and you're not finishing it, don't try to stop the fight and try to point out the guy's greasing. The referee checked and said he's not greasing. And as Brian Stan pointed out, you can't just overcommit and keep going at one technique, because while he's doing that, he's getting his head dribbled on the mat like a basketball by Alejandro Perez's paymaker, so that was very stupid. Mirbek Taisimov is freaking awesome. I really believe he could be a title contender someday. The dude is a beast. He keeps winning. I can't wait to see what he does next.
Yeah, Taisimov, man, you and I have been saying it for a while now. That's a mean dude. He's somebody to watch. All right, that was UFC Fight Night 86. Again, took place early this morning. Thanks to everyone who stopped by, who followed along with my live coverage. He's read the report. I appreciate all of you. Not a bigger event, so not a whole lot of comments, but, you know, to the guys who did comment, Mark, Jeff, the account of one of the guys who lost, Philip Page, stopped by. I don't think it's actually him. If it is, my apologies. I'm not trying to be dismissive or anything, but I don't expect that was him, but someone with that stopped by said, ah, crap, I lost type thing. So, again, thank you, guys. Thanks to everyone who just kind of read and followed along, whether you commented or not. I appreciate it. And as always, you guys are awesome. Whether there's a lot of chatter or not, I appreciate you guys, you know, showing up, reading, taking of your time, especially for, you know, an awkwardly timed, you know, kind of Sunday morning card. So thank you for all of that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. This Saturday, I was looking forward to this event, and then not so much.
UFC Khabib is still fighting.
I am very happy about that. UFC on Fox 19.
Which I think is good for him, technically. Now he's getting a tune-up fight on his first fight back in over 2 years instead of a title eliminator, basically. This could, in many ways, this could still be beneficial to him.
Man, after 2 years off with, you know, a knee injury and all that stuff, letting a guy get his feet wet, even if he was highly ranked, is not the worst thing in the world. And Tony Ferguson is, you know, a very, very good fighter. So that falling out and him, you know, getting to just kind of get back in the cage, get a win, there's your, you know, sneak peek. I'm picking him to win. And they reintroduce him to fans. Let him get his feet back under him. I'm okay with it. I really am. Anyway, the point being, UFC on Fox 19 was supposed to be headlined by Tony Ferguson and the returning Khabib Nurmagomedov. I love that fight. They announced it. It got moved around a few times. Don't care. Love the fight. Tony Ferguson got injured about 5 days ago was when it was announced.
And it was something very serious. He was either really ill or I think it was something with his lungs. Like, didn't he have fluid in his lungs is what I recall
something
reading.
Something like that, and then he had a bad reaction to some of the medication he was taking. He posted a couple of pics of himself on Twitter, I think, from the hospital recently. So he's
not like doing something he shouldn't have been doing in training, basically.
Illnesses happen a lot. Freak injuries happen. This is one of those things, and, you know, we wish the best. We want, you know, I like Tony Ferguson as a fighter. Hope he gets well. Hope there's no lasting damage.
I love El Kakui. I want to see him fight for the title, so I hope he gets well soon.
I'm with you. Khabib is staying on the card. I think he wanted to get a fight in, not just to finally return and get the money, but Ramadan is coming up. He's a very observant Muslim, so you fast for, you know, all of Ramadan. You don't eat between while the sun's up. Basically, you don't eat. So training can be difficult. I forgive me. I'm not necessarily up to date on all the specifics of it. I know there are some fasting things that go along with it. It makes physically training very, very difficult. And he won't fight during that time. So, again, point being, you know, your religious beliefs being what they are, I have no problem with it. So he's trying to get that fight out of the way before Ramadan starts. He's now fighting a local guy who's 12-1, Daryl Horcher. They've agreed to a catch weight because of the short notice. They'll be fighting at 160 pounds, and they're now the third fight down on the card. Without that, you know, kind of title eliminator at the main event, this is UFC The Nostalgia Trip. The main event is Glover Teixeira versus Rashad Evans. I don't necessarily have anything against either of those gentlemen, but let's be fair. Glover already fought for the belt, lost decisively. Evans already fought for the belt, lost decisively. Evans just had his first fight in almost 2 years, and then lost to Ryan Bader. Teixeira is coming off of a win, but he was out for a while too. No, I'm sorry, he wasn't. He had, and what? Something's got to be wrong with that. He had about a year off after losing to Phil Davis, defeated Owen St. Preux, knocked out Pat Cummins. But I don't know. I'm finding it really hard to get excited about that fight. I think both guys are past their prime. It doesn't mean they can't have good fights. It doesn't mean they're not, you know, still very competitive fighters. But I think if we're in a more competitive division, this fight means a whole lot less. But because light heavyweight is in a rebuilding phase, to put it kindly, they're highly featured. As for the fight itself, if Rashad Evans is an intelligent fighter and hasn't lost too much over the years, and I know he's an intelligent fighter, as for, you know, how much he might have lost, I can't say one way or the other. Didn't look good against Ryan Bader. But he will try to do what Phil Davis did. Now, Rashad Evans is a very different style of wrestler than Phil Davis. Not sure that will work. Certainly not in a one-to-one scenario. Glover Teixeira hits really hard. The change to 5 rounds benefits, I think, Rashad Evans more than Teixeira. They've both gone 5 rounds in the past, but I think Teixeira will, if he starts getting kind of ragdolled a little bit by Evans, he's the one who's going to slow down more. He's the one who's going to start to kind of break physically and mentally. I'm really torn on this one again. I mean, Rashad Evans just came back, had that loss to Ryan Bader, of all people. Didn't look good in that fight. Teixeira's been more active. This is a really close fight. I think I'm going to go with Glover Teixeira here. He's got good kind of counter wrestling, not great, but good. Evans not having the same kind of riding, grinding, clinch-based style that has troubled him in the past. Evans not having a size advantage. Teixeira's punching power, the years on Rashad. I'm going with Teixeira here, probably via stoppage. But really, I'm just hoping this doesn't turn into, you know, the geriatric show and we get these two guys, you know, complaining about their hips being broken. Hopefully the fight doesn't suck. Yeah, I got Teixeira here. Jeff, what do you think about this one?
I like Teixeira, but if Evans was never able to flip the switch against Ryan Bader, and that was, he looked very rusty in that fight. And if Evans is still competitive and he can still go and he's prepared, I think he definitely has the tools to beat Teixeira. But the way things are now, I'm just leaning toward Teixeira. I mean, Teixeira has flaws in his game, but I mean, he has knockout power. He has good boxing, good kickboxing, fairly good takedown defense, considering his background.
Teixeira has pretty good offensive wrestling too, and Rashad Evans on his back.
Evans can be really hot and cold. I mean, Evans is not, I would say he's far past his peak years, but even still, he's still a pretty strong, even past his prime, I would say he's still a pretty strong, formidable opponent. But he got outboxed by Rogério Nogueira and Ryan Bader. What does that say about him? That he gets outboxed and outstruck by both of those dudes. And Teixeira is a much better boxer than Ryan Bader and Nogueira. So just on that alone, and the fact that Teixeira can sprawl and he can deal with takedowns, I feel like he's going to win this fight. I'm not saying Evans, you know, can't, you know, have like a nice little resurgence like Junior Dos Santos did today and look really good and come out with the win. He definitely could. I'm just not betting on that this time around.
All right. In the co-main event, the battle of, wait, we're still here. And that pains me on, I think, both of these levels. Lyoto Machida is fighting Dan Henderson again. Yeah, that's about the level of excitement you expect.
Because their first fight was just so awesome.
Oh, their first fight. Not a good fight.
Their
For those of you
lives
who
for that fight. So think about how what I had to deal with.
At least it wasn't five rounds.
At least it wasn't the main event. Thank God. People complain when they made Ronda Rousey in her UFC debut for the title the main event for that fight card. Go figure.
How foolish we all were. Anyway, these two fought back in, I got to look it up.
It was UFC
February
13. I want to say 157 in 2013.
Yeah, 157.
So it was February 2013, so it was just over 3 years ago, basically.
Lyoto Machida won a split decision. That should not have been split.
Right, I agree.
Dan Henderson, man's a legend. An absolute legend. First man to hold two major titles in two different weight classes at the same time. He did so in Pride. He was the middleweight champion. Welterweight Pride, it equates in weight to middleweight in the UFC. He went up and knocked out Wanderlei Silva to become the... That would be the middleweight title for them. Again, the equivalent of light
heavyweight champion. UFC tournament winner. Knocked out Fedor Emelianenko. Knocked out Shogun Hua.
Twice. Well, not just once. But yeah, beat Shogun twice.
Is one of the greatest, most decorated fighters this sport has ever seen.
There's a legitimate, based on longevity, career accomplishments, again, over that period of time.
He is one of the greatest of all time. But
one of the greatest MMA fighters of all time. One of probably the three best American mixed martial artists of all time.
Exactly. But he still needs to retire now. He's at that point. I'm fine with this fight because the first fight wasn't really that competitive. And how do I say this? Machida hasn't looked great either as of late.
True.
But if Henderson gets finished here, that has to be it for him. I don't think the UFC should even consider booking him again. Because
Dan Henderson is 2-6 in his last eight.
Right.
Those wins are over Tim Bosch and Mauricio Hua. And his last his last four losses have all been TKO stoppages.
Right. Now, Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour, he was making the argument because, you know, he looks so great against Tim Bosch. Guys, it's Tim Bosch. Okay? And then Ariel Helwani is like, well, maybe he just doesn't have to fight big names anymore. I mean, this is the problem. When fighters sort of get toward the end of their career and they can still be competitive and they can still get wins, you know, then you start feeling, well, he's still winning. Why does he have to retire now? But, I mean, that's the problem. If they win, it's like why they should retire. But when they're losing, it's like you want them to retire and not take the damage anymore. I just don't see the point where if he's not going to be, you know, being in those big relevant fights anymore, why he needs to take the damage anymore at this point. I just don't see it. And I want him to hang it. If he gets finished here, I definitely want him to hang it up. Because if he somehow gets a win, it's like, why should he? It'll start the cycle all over again. And I don't want to see that either. Because every fighter is looking for that win. They want to go out on top. They want to go out on a win. But if they're on top and they're winning, why should they stop? And that's just the problem. If he wins here, everyone's going to be like, oh, let him keep fighting. But he shouldn't.
Now, I completely agree with that. On the other side, we have Lyoto Machida, who is 1-3 in his last four on a two-fight losing streak and also desperately clinging to relevance. Now, granted, those losses are to Chris Weidman, Luke Rockhold, and Yoel Romero, and those are three of the top five middleweights in the world.
Right.
But his last win, his only win, There's some weird timing on some of this.
His
last win.
Mayer is on all the supplements and all that. He's having all sorts of supplement issues.
Right. Machida's last win was over C.B. Dolloway.
C.B.
Yeah.
Dolloway was legit at the time, though. Come on.
He was on a decent run, but, I mean, come on.
Top 10. He was top 10, legitimately.
Yeah. I'm maintaining my level of skepticism about that. So, anyway, both of these guys are just really kind of desperate for a win. I don't see too many. Look, Dan Henderson wins one way at this point and one way only, and that's if you stand in front of him and let him hit you in the face. Lyoto Machida will not stand in front of Dan Henderson and let him hit him in the face. I think Machida will kind of wait out that first 3 minutes with movement, leg and body kicks, frustrate Henderson. Henderson will get tired and reckless. Machida will land a nice counter left or a head kick at distance. Dan Henderson will fall over, and life will go on. I got Machida here. I got Machida all day for this fight. I really do. And I respect Dan Henderson a lot. And it kind of pains me to say that, you know, but these two are just at a point where it's so kind of blah. But that's where we are. I got Machida. I just hope nobody gets seriously injured in this fight. Jeff, what do you think?
Machida's going to win. Let me be clear. I love Dan Henderson. Dan Henderson is one of my favorite fighters of all time, but I don't think he should be fighting anymore. I'm not saying, like, I won't watch this fight or this, you know, this fight should never happen in a million years, blah, blah, blah. I'm fine with this fight getting booked just because of where Machida is currently at in his career and his recent performances and the way the first fight went. But I'm just saying Machida's going to win, and if Machida can finish Dan Henderson here, which I believe he can just because, you know, I feel Henderson's chin is shot and gone at this point. I think that's what's going to happen. And even if he doesn't, I still think Dan Henderson should probably retire. But we'll see.
I agree. All right. At a catch weight of 160 pounds, I gave you my brief preview. Khabib Nurmagomedov fights Daryl Horcher, who's stepping in on short notice, and I hope he got a guaranteed multi-fight deal. At least he should get guaranteed two fights out of this. The man's 12 or 13-1.
Well, just like Pat Cummins did against Daniel Cormier.
Yeah. His one loss, and this should tell you, if you need to know why I'm going the way I'm going without thinking too much, not only because Khabib is pretty awesome, Horcher's one loss is to Felipe Nover. And I don't think too highly of Felipe Nover as a fighter. Khabib is, again, coming off of that long layoff. His last fight was a win over Rafael Dos Anjos. He ragdolled Dos Anjos for 3 rounds. But that was in April of 2014. It's been over 2 years. It will be, okay, it will be just under 2 years. He's been out for a while. He had a knee injury that forced him out. He kind of exacerbated that. Fighting a bear. The bear fought dirty. I was there for that fight. That was a cheating bear. And Khabib still won. But look, if Horcher got beat by Nover, Horcher's just in way over his head. Unless Khabib lost a ton of his ability in that time off. I think Khabib finishes him probably in the second. He'll ragdoll him throughout the first, take him down and pound him out in the second. The world remembers why Nurmagomedov is awesome. And he'll move on to a relevant fight in a title eliminator against somebody. This is as close to a lock as you're going to get. And even then, we've seen crazier things. But Khabib all day long. And twice on Sunday. Jeff, are you picking the upset here? Are you picking the massive upset?
Look, this isn't like Sage Northcutt fighting Brian Barberena. This is not like that. Khabib all day. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. And kicking off the main card, we have a strawweight fight. Rose Namajunas is fighting Tisha Torres.
This is a relevant fight, actually. And this is
a relevant fight.
This is actually a potential, if you really get down to it, this is a potential title eliminator for women's strawweight.
Yeah, the other fight in the near future that's going to potentially play into it is, Carla Esparza is fighting. Who the heck is she fighting? Because they announced it and I liked it. I forget who, but the return of Carla Esparza could play pretty heavily. But these two, Rose Namajunas, on a winning streak in
Juliana
the UFC.
Juliana Lima, fighting Juliana Lima.
Thank you. Like that fight. That's got some title ramifications. Namajunas is on a 2-fight winning streak. She beat Angela Hill and Paige VanZant. Tisha Torres is unbeaten as a professional. I'm a little torn here. This one, this is a rematch. Tisha Torres defeated Rose Namajunas at Invicta 6. And now, granted, both women have, you know, matured and evolved since then, so I wouldn't look to that as too great of an indicator. I'm torn here. I really am. This one, it's a good fight, and it could go either way. Namajunas, you get really good grappling. A solidly technical striker. Tisha Torres, very aggressive fighter. She doesn't get a lot of all of her wins are by decision, but she's good at pressuring her opponents and getting them uncomfortable and just kind of overwhelming them with striking volume. Oh, man. I'm torn. I'm going to go with Torres. I reserve the right to change my mind before I actually submit my roundtable picks. At the moment, I'm leaning towards Torres. I don't think she's going to make the same kind of fundamental mistakes that both Angela Hill and Paige VanZant did that let Namajunas capitalize on them. But I'm not, again, I reserve the right to change my mind, and even when I do, if I do, I'm not going to be terribly confident in that. I don't think that's a really close fight. Jeff, are you going to break pattern and pick against Rose Namajunas or not?
I'm picking Rose Namajunas. I like Sug Rose here. Tisha Torres, very good grappling, very good takedowns, but she's not a dangerous opponent. She's not as well-rounded as Rose Namajunas. Now, she can win this fight with her MMA wrestling, with her takedowns, but I'm really pulling for Thug Rose hard here. And, you know, a lot of us were on Paige VanZant hype train, and, you know, we expected her to beat Rose, but, I mean, that's because Paige VanZant had the momentum going into that fight. And, you know, everyone was getting behind Rose when she was on The Ultimate Fighter, but then she just got, you know, dominated and submitted by Carla Esparza. But now she looks like she's getting better and improving each time out, now that she's getting more fights and experience. I'm pulling for Thug Rose here. I want to see her win and eventually fight for the title again. Thug Rose all the way.
All right, that's the main card. It will be on Big Fox.
Look, the key here for Thug Rose.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Robert. But
no, go ahead.
Pressure. She needs to be pressure, takedown defense, and just do what she did against Paige VanZant. Just, you know, aggression. Don't give Tisha Torres time to settle in and stuff the takedowns. If she can do that, she's going to win. Because Tisha Torres, her striking is not that good. She just overwhelms fighters with her takedowns and grappling, and that's how she wins. She grinds out wins. If she can take that away from Tisha Torres, she will win against the Tiny Tornado.
All right, and yeah, that's the main card. A lot of nostalgia there. Again, all right. These first four preliminary fights are also on Fox. So, yay for visibility. I like this fight a lot. Lightweight Beneil Dariush is fighting Michael Chiesa. Really like that fight. I got Dariush. I don't know. Chiesa's a very grappling-heavy fighter, and I'm not sure He's going to be able to grind out Dariush. Dariush is a very talented grappler. Like that fight, but I got Dariush. At women's bantamweight, Betts Kohea is fighting Raquel Pennington. Kohea already has a win over Pennington. I don't especially care that much. I'll go with Kohea to repeat. Why not? Like this fight, actually. At welterweight, Court McGee is fighting Santiago Ponzinibbio. I got a soft spot for the Crusher. And Ponzinibbio's not a bad... These two are going to brawl. These two are going to go at it. I'm going to pick Court McGee. Not confident in that, but I think Ponzinibbio's going to struggle if he can't knock you out quickly. And Court McGee, relentless pressure. If Ponzinibbio tires, McGee is going to be all over him. Yeah, I'll go with McGee. At featherweight, Cub Swanson fights Hakran Diaz. I got Swanson there. Without too much consideration. Swanson's on a two-fight losing streak, but that's to Frankie Edgar and Max Holloway. I mean, those two are phenomenal. Then on Fight Pass, at bantamweight, John Dodson returns to bantamweight after his second loss to Demetrius Johnson. Probably a wise career move. He'll be fighting Manny Gamburian. I do not like Gamburian's chances. Dodson's faster. Dodson hits harder. Dodson's a better fighter. I think he's going to knock Manny out. At welterweight, Randy Brown will fight Michael Graves. And I'll go with Brown. Lightweight, Drew Dober fights Islam Makhachev. Drew Dober is... Man, I'm torn on this one. I'll go with Makhachev. Not terribly confident there. I'll go with Makhachev. At middleweight, Cesar Fejea will fight Oluwole Bamjose. I'll go with Bamjose, actually. Fejea doesn't react well to being hit. And at welterweight, kicking everything off, Elizu Zaleski dos Santos will fight Omari Akhmedov. I got Akhmedov. He's been a little bit hot and cold lately, but I got him over dos Santos in this instance. This is kind of a make-or-break thing for him being a relevant fighter, though. I will say that. All right, Jeff, that's a pretty juicy bunch of prelims. What are your burning desires from that? What are you looking forward to?
Great talent up and down the prelims. I mean, Beneil Dariush, Robert, this guy's on his way to becoming a title contender. If you really get right down, look at his record. He's won 5 in a row, 12-1. He hasn't lost since he was knocked out by Ramzy Nijem. He's 6-1 in the UFC, 6-1 at lightweight. I mean, except the time Crookshank missed weight, so it was catch weight, but he didn't miss weight for that fight. And yes. Mike Chiesa is surging as well, and Mike Chiesa is really good. He's a tough opponent, and he's coming off 2 solid wins against Mitch Clark and Jim Miller. He did what Dariush couldn't do to Jim Miller. He finished Jim Miller. Chiesa just has a little problem. You know, I think Dariush maybe has an edge in the striking against Chiesa. They're both very good grapplers and good wrestlers. Chiesa, I think, maybe has some better submissions than Dariush does. But we'll see. I think this could be a very good grappling fight on the ground. I can see this fight going a number of different ways. It's a tough fight. And either winner here is definitely moving up in the division. And Dariush, if he keeps this up, we're going to be talking about him being in the title mix very soon.
Hey, Dariush made me look stupid 2 or 3 times in a row. I said publicly I'm done picking against the guy.
I mean, look, Court McGee, good fighter, solid fighter. Ponzinibbio, decent fight. Cub Swanson, I mean, look, we got Cub Swanson and Hakran Diaz. That's a great fight. On the prelims, we have John Dodson. John Dodson, don't let me down here. Please knock out Manny Gamburian. I mean, you know, at the top, look, this card was hurt a lot by losing Ferguson versus Khabib at the top. But, I mean, up and down, we have a lot of good, relevant fighters in multiple divisions, especially the strawweight opener. You know, either one of the winner will probably be getting a title shot. very soon. And then you have, you know, Dariush versus Chiesa is a fantastic fight. I'm very glad they're fighting on Fox, even though it's the prelims. And then, you have good guys and former contenders up and down the card. You know, you have Cub Swanson fighting Diaz. That's a great fight for featherweight. And then you have John Dotson, former two-time title contender, fighting Manny Gimburin, a former WEC title contender. So lots of good talent everywhere on this card and lots of good matchups. So I hope I'm expecting some good fights from this one.
I'm hopeful. All right, again, that will go live this Saturday. I will have live coverage in the MMA Zone of 411 Mania. Stop by, say hello. I appreciate it. Mark Radlich will be there live. I'm a tad jealous. He will be providing tidbits and updates and whatnot that I will put in there if I feel them relevant at the time. I'm hopeful that's a pretty good – that winds up being a good night of fights. All right. The only major news that I remember off the top of my head – Frank Mir was informed by USADA of a potential violation of, a drug test failure. Now, that's not an actual failure. That's a potential failure. There are some procedures still in place, but given Frank Mir's history, not just the way he's bulked up in the past, the TRT use, he's apparently blaming it on kangaroo meat. I never thought someone would top Alistair Overeem's horse meat excuse, but bravo, Frank Mir, you did it.
Well, to Overeem's credit, he never used horse meat as an excuse.
Fair enough. He just mentioned that he had been eating some horse meat, so, all right. Yeah, Frank Mir.
I mean, he used...
I imagine Frank Mir is still a little bit loopy from that knockout.
Credited horse meat as his diet of horse meat as his turnaround from when he moved up to heavyweight after sort of a middling career as a light heavyweight and sort of being this really jacked, bulked up heavyweight. This was before he failed the drug test when he was supposed to fight Junior. So it was really, he was crediting his diet of horse meat as why he was getting so much better and bigger as well, when we all know what it really was.
Yeah, I imagine Frank Mir is, again, still I think Frank Mir is still just a tad loopy from that knockout that Mark Hunt handed him. But that's all the news that I remember that's really worth talking about off the top of my head. Jeff, am I forgetting anything?
We got that fight with Carla Esparza coming back to fight Julianna Lima, so that's going to be happening soon. Let me see. I think that's
100% okay with that fight.
That's the main thing because, Yoel Romero, he apparently reached a settlement over his failed drug test with USADA, where USADA agreed he would serve a 6-month suspension instead of a 2-year suspension. So what do you make of that?
I'm fine with it. Look, I'm on record. I kind of believe Romero when he says, he had issues with the supplement he was taking. He's still being held accountable in the sense that he must, serve a suspension. The win's going to be overturned. But given the learning process we're on with, supplements and the stricter drug testing, I am okay in this instance with them adding that supplement to the banned list. Letting everyone know, hey, this is caused the issue. You're advised not, it's now banned. Don't do it. I think this is, all things considered, a relatively fair and equitable conclusion to that saga.
Okay. So Frank Mir's situation, look, every guy can't be eating some tainted meat or ingesting a tainted supplement. And I feel like even Gleason Tebow, when he was popped for blood doping, he's like, I didn't do anything. I don't know what I didn't take anything. I'm innocent. Like, not everyone who fails a drug test can be innocent, Robert. I just don't believe that. I like fighters, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but, I feel like history kind of makes me not want to do that, because I just feel like not every guy can be taking some sort of tainted supplement that they really don't know what was in it. And it's just very far-fetched to me. Now, all right, so let's say you ate some kangaroo meat. Okay. If you ate bad kangaroo meat that was, I don't know, maybe it was enhanced with steroids, is that really going to make you fail a drug test? Is that possible? I have no idea, but you tell me.
Given the amount of beef that gets eaten and drug tests that are not failed because you're eating, you know, beef that's been genetically enhanced, I have a really hard time imagining it.
Okay, but if you ingest meat that's been genetically enhanced, is that meat, could that meat make you get a false positive? Is that possible?
To the best of my knowledge, no, but I'm not in any way, shape, form, or fashion an expert.
I mean, I'm not an expert. That's why I can't buy into it. That's why it sounds like nonsense to me, and why I can't really buy into any of these excuses. It's just like, I feel like fighters, one, should know better at this point. And two, okay, it was, like, why are you even eating kangaroo meat if you don't know where it comes from? But I don't even believe it was kangaroo meat anyway. Look, we've been very suspicious about Frank Mir in the past, haven't we? Remember how after that loss to Lesnar, there was that period where he got huge? And I mean,
he
like,
put
really
on, what, 10 pounds of muscle in the period of a couple of, I mean, less than 6 months.
And I'm not, and he never got caught for anything at the time. And when he took TRT, TRT was, I mean, it was legal. He followed the rules when he took TRT. He was allowed to take it. He was given a therapeutic use exemption. Everything was above board. Where it comes to regulation, he did everything right with that, where TRT is concerned. However, there's also the fact that he was in his early 30s taking TRT when what the experts say is the reason you would need it at that age is possibly due to steroid abuse. So it would suggest that maybe Frank Mir was abusing steroids for many years in his career, and that's what causes him to use TRT. And what I really think is because he got off TRT, he's been taking something else and been trying to mask it to help him come off TRT. And, I mean, he doesn't look like he was using PEDs for this fight, but that doesn't mean he wasn't either. He could have been using some sort of designer thing to just help him stay on the level or to help him, stay in the fight. I think Frank Mir probably should have retired probably a couple fights ago, to be perfectly honest with you. But I just can't buy into this kangaroo nonsense because that's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I really should do some research on that to see if eating meat can cause that, because I really don't think it does, but I've been wrong about crap like that in the past. All right, that's it for us. We're all done. We're all through. We're out of here. After plugs. Jeff, you've seen movies. What do you got to plug?
Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice was what it was. Check out the review. Check out my official review of Star Wars The Force Awakens on Blu-ray. Thank you to Walt Disney Studios for sending us that screener. Next reviews will probably be The Jungle Book and Huntsman, Winter's War, so be on the lookout for those. Check out my column on MMA injuries. You know, more people are coming around on this, and I'm not going to stop beating this drum. Some people don't like what I have to say about this, but I'm not going to stop it either. It's time to have regulation and rules for MMA training camps across the board And even if not across the board, we need them for these marquee fights because we're losing too many marquee fights just days out, and it's got to happen at some point. And Robert Winfrey knows it. Andrew Graham, who's probably listening, knows it. And Wyatt Bossier, you know it. Scott Kaczowski, you know it. Mark Radulich, you know it. Pat Mullen, even you know it. It's time to regulate MMA training camps. Let's get it done now because too many guys are getting injured because they're overtraining. And all of this is because guys are always saying they're overtraining and they're training too hard day in and day out and they're wrecking their bodies. You get paid to fight. You don't get paid to train. Am I wrong here, Robert?
Yeah, you don't train appropriately. You lose. Get cut. Make
I don't care
as much.
I don't care. Don't overtrain. You don't get paid to train. It's simple logic.
Unless you're TJ Dillashaw. You apparently get paid.
All right. Thank you, Robert. I'm out this week. Looking forward to next week. Thank you, guys.
See you next week, Jeff. All right. For those of you who want to hear more of me, Mark Radulich and I reviewed Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. I kind of agree with Jeff. Was what it was. I'm not passionate about that movie one way or the other. I seem to be in the minority as far as that goes, but I'm okay with that. Upcoming reviews. Mark and I will be reviewing Jungle Book and The Huntsman Winter's War. Not sure if I should be excited about either of those. Probably not. I'm a big Chris Hemsworth fan, but I just can't make myself care that much. Hopefully the movie doesn't suck, though. All right, again, this coming Saturday, I will have live coverage of UFC on Fox 19. Hope to see you all there. Until next time, that's it for us. For Jeff Harris, I'm Robert Winfrey, reminding everyone out there to please continue to be well, be safe, and behave.